Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talks.
Here comes the money. Money, money, money.
Welcome, everybody, to the Backdoor Cover NFL Weekly Daily Fantasy Podcast. I have back with me Keith, because like I said, if I had a good day on Thanksgiving.
Good luck charm.
Yeah, I would bring him back because he's clearly a good luck charm. I went 4-2. Didn't hit any of the props. I don't really count props, man. I'm not a big prop bettor.
We had two props. The Schultz anytime touchdown hit. And yeah, you had one, too.
Brita threw the one. But I don't put a lot of stock into those, man. Look, every time I do a prop, the guy gets hurt. That's why I don't do it a lot
of times. You feel like me on some of my DraftKings plays. Yeah. That's where we've got a stretch this year where it's like at least one or two of the guys, me and Joe pick, they'll have a good first quarter and then get injured.
That's why I stopped doing just fantasy football in general. There's just too many injuries, man. It's always something. But if you haven't checked out the Thanksgiving podcast, I went 4-2 using the spread, and
I went 2-1, which is amazing.
Yeah, and you went 2-1. Was there any surprises other than the Cowboys not covering?
Well, remember, I took the Raiders, but I was surprised that you called the Lions Bears game almost exactly. I mean, if you would have said that it was at 2.5 scaring you instead of, the 3 or 3.5, I would have said you absolutely perfected that pick because you said they would probably lose on a last second field goal. Otherwise, you liked them straight up in the money line. And that's exactly what happened.
That is the freaking Lions this year, man. What an awful team.
Cowboys are another one of those teams, though, too, right, that have probably been propped up by their you know, who they played. I think that we haven't paid enough attention to that with like the Bills. We've seen that in recent weeks, the Cowboys, these teams that have, you know, they have a good record, but if you really go through and look at their game by games, they've beat up on some bad teams.
Well, the Cowboys have more of an excuse than the Bills. They've had some key injuries to offensive personnel. And obviously not having Lawrence on the field. I think a lot of people don't understand schematically what that Cowboys defense is going to look like when Lawrence comes back. They don't have to put Parsons as a rusher anymore.
What a freak he is.
If they do put him as a rusher, you've got a guy who had a hell of a season at one point, was a top 10 rusher in the league, and a guy in Parsons who's just a freak in everything he does. It's definitely going to give them a more dynamic defense. This is the second week in a row, I think, schematically, they really missed Lawrence because they needed Parsons in coverage a little bit more than what he's been able to do. But yeah, he's a freak. The Bills just trampled the Saints, which we kind of figured. And this Sunday, we've got a couple of interesting games. So I've got some games. I picked my pick'em. The super contest, I picked that on Wednesday. So I've got a couple of lines that have moved. And if they have moved, I'll let you guys know when we get to the games. So starting at 1:00, Keith's going to talk about his daily fantasy favorites in the particular game we talk about. I'm going to talk about the over-under and what I think would happen. And then, you know, if Keith has any insight on that, he can. I don't have any insight on daily fantasy because I suck at it. Which I'm all right at basketball.
Which is much harder. Which is like, that's what I keep telling you. We just got to keep working on you. You're too good at numbers and stuff. You'll figure it out.
And I also don't do half bad at golf either. But yeah, for some reason, football, maybe I know too much. I don't know. 1:00 Sunday, Titans visiting the Patriots. Patriots are laying 7. Over-unders at 43.5. The Titans, I thought I saw earlier that A.J. Brown was out. I'll need
IR.
All right, he's out. All right, he's on IR. Julio hasn't been Julio in a while, and I think when we did the preview show at the beginning of the season, I did mention, like, he's just not the same guy. And I
looks like a great trade for the Falcons.
Yeah, I didn't think the Falcons would totally miss him. They got rid of Adrian Peterson, which is just a name that we know. He wasn't really doing much either. Obviously, they're going to miss Derrick Henry. Titans need to rebound, though, in a big way because momentum's going in Kansas City's favor. I think they're in and a very high risk of losing home field advantage, which I think they sorely need. You also got the Ravens in your rearview mirror as well. So they need to win, and they need to win their out-of-division games, because if they lose their out-of-division games and the Colts are surging as well, it could set up for a scenario where they're not going to have enough bullets left in the chamber to push that home field. 7 is a lot for this Patriots team, even though they're at home. But given the injuries and the momentum that the Patriots have and the blood that they see in the water with the Bills kind of faltering the last couple weeks, I think it's a coverable number. Banking on the defense and Mac Jones to be just good enough not to turn the ball over. Also think that Vrabel is one of the few assistants that has pretty good success against Belichick. I had to double back and check on that. But I think in years past, he has been pretty decent against
Belichick. He's been really good.
Yeah.
So you would give the points.
I'm leaning to laying the points, yeah.
I like the Titans to cover. I do think probably the Pats win, but I just – this is the kind of game that I think the Titans are, you know, fit to play. Like they've obviously got a lot of injuries and stuff, but they've been playing hard. I mean, that's one thing that's been impressive. Even the Texans game, which they were down big, they came back at the end. For fantasy, I would tell people stay away from this game. We know how the Patriots are with their running backs. There's no telling who the hell they're going to give touchdowns to. Mac Jones has been very good from a NFL starting quarterback standpoint, but from a fantasy, I don't think he's broke 22 points in a game. If there's any guy I like in this game, it's Westbrook Ekine for the Titans. He's at 4K. He had, I believe, 6 receptions for 120 yards last week. Obviously, you got A.J. Brown out. Henry's out. I mean, they are really struggling. And reports in camp are saying he's in line for expanded workload. So for somebody that's probably going to see 6 to 10 targets at a minimum, you could do a lot worse than 4K on Westbrook Ekine. But I think this is going to be a defensive battle, probably low scoring. And I would probably stay away for fantasy purposes.
Yeah, I like the under here, too. Didn't check any of the weather before I made these picks, which is
my fault. I always forget about that this time of year, man.
It's my fault. But you want to check the weather, make sure there's no snow or crazy wind. Like, so crazy wind, speaking of crazy wind, anything in the mid-teens, low 20s isn't necessarily that crazy. It's high, but it's not crazy. If we're talking about wind gusts of like 30 miles an hour or higher, that's when you really have to be like, all right, what are we looking at here for passing? Vrabel's success against the Patriots needs to be something that you take a look at here. Giving that, if the line goes higher than 7, I would probably lean to the Titans more than I would the Patriots. At 7, my only issue here with the Titans covering is that their offense has like stalled. Like they don't sustain a lot of drives. And in a field position type game with the Patriots, they're going to get their field goals. I think we've seen them in a couple games this year when the offense hasn't been clicking, they'll still get 7 here and then like 3 or 4 possessions straight where they kick field goals. And then they still play solid defense. I just worry about the Titans being able to sustain drives in order to cover more than a score. So, or to cover one score. So that's why I'm leaning Patriots while I was at 7. Next game, Texans, Jets. Jets are visiting the Texans. Texans are laying 2.5. Over-under is at 44.5. I'm not sure. I guess Flacco's still starting.
No. They've said that Wilson will be back and starting this week, which is one of the main reasons I like the Texans to cover.
That is an awful idea. I was hoping they were going to keep him on the bench. But yeah, give me Texans all day, every day. And I actually have the Texans in my super contest. This is one of the lines that moved just a little. I got it at 2. It's at 2.5 now. But they should cover this. If you saw the Texans play last week, they're back to playing.
Yeah, and Flacco's actually in COVID protocol now. So it is a definite Zach Wilson start.
That's crazy. Yeah, let me get the Texans. I'd even be willing to consider the Texans over. That would probably be around like 23 points. I would take the Texans side over 23 points. The Jets, if Wilson plays, they're going to turn the ball over. So you're going to get scored.
I was just going to say that I hate seeing a game like this and saying this is probably where the most plays are going to come in my DFS lineups.
Perfectly fine.
But it is. The Texans D is only 2,300. I was all over them last week versus the Titans. You have to like this matchup even more. The Texans D has quietly the last three of the last 4 weeks scored 7 points or more. They're creating a ton of turnovers. I love the Taylor Cook stack at 11,000. The Jets in just their last five games have given up 12 passing touchdowns. And in four of those games, the number one receiver for the opposing team has also scored a touchdown. And then one of my favorite cheap plays is Ty Johnson, 4,300. With Michael Carter out, Johnson's going to move into probably more of a timeshare and actually running the ball with Tevin Coleman. But the big thing is he will be the primary pass catching back, which he has had a lot of good games. In four of his last six, he scored in double digits. It's almost primarily from catching the ball on third down. He's got a touchdown in three of those six games. And I just, at 4,300, I always tell people, they get me 10 points, I'm happy. I see him getting at least four receptions. He might even get some goal line carries with Carter out. I really like Ty Johnson at 4,300. As for the Jets, I would, you know, the rest of the receivers and stuff, I would stay away. And I do feel bad for Wilson because they're just setting him up to fail.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, man. I like the kid coming out, but this is to me a classic case of a quarterback who's in need of catering and coddling, and he's just getting thrown to the fire. So hopefully he doesn't get hurt even worse than what he was before. I hope he's coming back healthy. All right, Eagles visiting the Giants. Oh boy, let me tell you, NFC East games are absolutely crazy.
They're bonkers this year, man.
Yeah. They're usually clusterfucks, and they usually don't go over three. A lot of times the Giants are getting 3.5 at home. Looked absolutely awful, incompetent last week. Got a surge with my man Jason Garrett being fired. I'm expecting big things out of this team this week, and big things as in they're going to score more than 10 points. I worry about their ability to contain hurt and this offense that has found new life. 45.5 is the over under, leaning to the over here with an anticipation that the Giants will bounce back. Don't ask me why I think the Giants will bounce back, but I just feel like somebody's going to be competent enough not to roll to the short side of the field and throw back across into pressure. That happened not once, not twice, but like four times, all in short yardage short yardage times. It just looked awful. But you got Tony, you got Galladay, you got Barkley, you've got playmakers. Ingram, you've got playmakers on this offense.
Tony's out, but Shepard's supposed to be back.
All right, so Tony's out.
Or doubtful. Okay. It looks doubtful. Like he's going to play, yeah.
Okay.
You like I said, Shepard will be back. They'll still have most of their weapons.
Yeah, you still got playmakers. I'm leaning to taking my points with the Giants here. Just call it a hunch. NFC East games can get weird. I typically don't like taking more than 3 points or laying more than 3 points on the road with somebody like the Eagles, the John Does, visiting a team that honestly you can make a case could go either way. So let me take my points with the Giants here.
So I would actually take the Eagles to cover. It's only because I really think the Eagles have finally figured out they need to be running the football first. In the last five games, they're averaging almost twice as many carries per game as they did in their first seven. For the fantasy play, I was going to go to say Hurts. He's, as steady of a quarterback as you can get right now. He's a little pricey this week. I think he's 7,100, but he has had at least 55 yards or more on the ground in five straight. When you have a running back that can run like that, their floor is just so low. But I'm going to take Miles Sanders at 5,100. Jordan Howard is out for this game, meaning Miles Sanders is going to be the lead back. He saw 18 touches in his first game back from the IR last week. He totaled 94 yards. The Giants give up the fourth most points to opposing fantasy running backs. And I just think with Jordan Howard out, you're going to see a lot of Miles Sanders. Jalen Hurts will do what he does. I do think the Giants keep it close, but I do think the Eagles end up covering this because they've become such a good running team, which they were obviously not earlier in the year, and it's making Hurts a better quarterback.
We'll see. Just because, like I said, I'm just more bearish on the Eagles because it's a division game and just the NFC East, they always
Strahan's getting his number retired. I could see, you know, the rah-rah game.
But it's so it's just the NFC East. Like, if it makes sense, then it doesn't work. That's how the NFC East is, honestly. But yeah, it at 3.5, my advice to you and anybody else looking at the Eagles is just be safe. Buy the hook. Yeah, buy the hook to the 3. Over under 45.5, like I said, I'm leaning more to the over, just anticipating the Giants bounce back a little here, getting that weight off of their shoulders and Jason Garrett and his incompetence. Money dimes, baby. Indianapolis Colts hosting this bum cheater, Tom Brady. Brady and I have a love-hate relationship. I definitely respect him, though. But again, here's the story. No AB. I'm not a fan of the Bucks without AB in general. Definitely not a fan of the Bucks on the road without AB. Loving the value I'm getting with the Colts here at 3. Would love to get a little bit more because more points is always good. But this is going to be one of my plays that I'm going to jump on the money line at plus 140 with the Colts and win outright. Taylor is a monster. I think that's exactly what you need to beat a team like the Buccaneers and Tom Brady. Somebody that can move the chains and keep them off the field, give your defense some rest. And then without AB, I think Mike Evans is a little hobbled. If not, he definitely left with a hamstring injury last game. They're still beat up on offense. So it's asking a lot for Tom Brady to carry teams at this point in his career, whether people want to admit that or not. He needs people around him more than ever now. And without AB and without Mike Evans, Godwin's kind of banged up himself. Gronk is always banged up. It's just a little iffy of a situation. Taking my points, liking the under here.
Well, that kind of scares me because I'm pretty much the opposite all the way here. I think the Bucks cover. Brady's different. When he has 3 of the 4, when he has at least Gronk, Godwin, Evans, or you can throw Brown in for one of those guys, he's looked different. Brady, I pointed this out when they played in a dome a couple. He's been incredible in a dome recently in regular season games for the fantasy play. I love the Brady-Gronk stack. Gronk's at 4,400. Brady's at 7,600. That's 11K. I mean, last week, you saw Gronk in his return. He had, I believe it was 8 targets. He had 6 receptions for 74 yards, so he wasn't missing that. The Colts have really struggled against good tight ends. Andrew had over 120 yards and 2 touchdowns. Gesicki had 8 catches for 115 yards. Knox had 8 catches for 70 yards. And I just think Gronk is going to have a lot of action this week. I also always love Godwin when Brown's out at 7K. He's averaging over 20 points in the 5 games that Brown has missed because he really becomes that just blanket guy. On the other side, I'm obviously not going to tell anyone to ever fade Jonathan Taylor because he's been on fire, but his price is getting so expensive, and Tampa is one of the teams that's actually pretty good against the run. So I think the Colts are going to have to throw this a little bit to win this game, which I do think they can. So I really like Pittman Jr. He is really low priced at 5,400 because he had a bad game last week, and the week before he kind of underperformed because they won so big. But this is a guy that scored double figures in 7 of his last 8. Tampa Bay, we know you can throw on them. Pittman's a big physical receiver, which they've had trouble with. I think Pittman at 5,400 is probably the best play in the game, maybe just followed by Gronk.
Yeah, anytime I pick a team to win money line and take them spread, they never win money line. But I want to see this Buccaneers team without Vita Vea in the middle and see how well
it's
play.
It's a big difference. It is a concern.
Because as far as running goes, last week they didn't really get challenged. This week should be more challenging against their run defense. But, you know, like you said, they don't do well against covering tight ends. It could turn into a situation where the over's in play. And it's in a dome, too. So 53 might seem like a lot, but the Colts have been giving up a lot of points as well. So I might have jumped the gun a little with that under. So you can fade me on that for sure. Next 1 o'clock game, we don't have to spend a lot of time on this. Falcons laying 2 on the road against the Jaguars. I mean, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. I don't want to bet this game. If I'm going to bet this game, just for the hell of it, let me get the Jags money line and the points.
Yeah, it's a Falcons fan. I don't feel good about it. I can't pick against my Falcons. I obviously got to have them to cover the 2 points. What?
I don't understand how y'all like that, man. I faded the Niners for 6 weeks in a row.
It's the Jaguars, man. If I'm going into a game picking the Jaguars against my team, I might as well give up being an NFL fan at that point.
You should.
If it was 3 points, it would be one thing. But come on, man. We got one of the best kickers in the league, so we at least got that going for us.
Yeah, you do.
The fantasy play for me is Kyle Pitts here at 6,100. He struggled his last two games. It's been against good defenses who have really zeroed in on him without Ridley and just all of our, you know, the mess that our offense is. So the great thing about that, I think he's going to be low owned because people are going to go 6,100 for a guy that's only scored 13 points the last 2 weeks. He's still seen 52 targets in his last seven starts. And I talked about how earlier, I forgot, the Colts had struggled against tight ends. Man, the Jags, Uzmaha, 5 for 95 yards, 2 touchdowns. Gesicki, 9 for 124. Noah Fant, 4 for 47, a touchdown. Kittle's last week, 4 for 34 and a touchdown. That was a game that was over early. I don't see any way that Pitts doesn't do some serious damage against his Jaguars defense. He has really beat up on bad defenses versus tight ends. He's going to be low owned. If you want to take Matt Ryan with him, I don't hate that because the Jaguars are a very bad pass secondary, but it seems like every time I give Matt Ryan, it's an official play on the podcast, he does terrible. And anytime I don't, he scores 20 plus. So he's not an official play, but if you want to make that with Pitts as a stack, I'll sign off on that.
Next game is equally as unattractive unless you're a big Cam fan. Panthers visiting the Dolphins. Panthers laying 2.5 on the road. I don't know if I necessarily agree with this, but for some reason, I have the Panthers in my super contest. Now, Panthers and I have a love-hate relationship because I loved them early on in the season, and I was doing pretty good taking them in certain spots. I wasn't like, oh, they're great. No, but they were good against the number, like they're up until they played the Cowboys, and then they just went to shit, and then they kind of came back, and then they went to shit again. So I'm not sure what to expect from them. I'm probably going to switch this out just because I know they've been kind of inconsistent. But if there was a game for Cam to officially be back, it should be against a Dolphins team that still has their issues. What's been bothering me with the Panthers is the fact that their defense seems to be like gone, which was a strength early on. If they can find that form again, I don't have any doubt that they could win this game in a grinder. I don't know why or how they were able to just outright lose to the John Does, but it happened last week. Over-unders at 42, not really liking the over there.
Yeah. I think this is going to be a real physical game. I would consider this a stay away. I guess if you force me to make a pick, I'd take the Dolphins because their defense has looked really good since their corners have returned. One thing you got to give Flores is that team's playing hard for him. And I mean, this season was over. They have literally nothing to lose by winning games either because they unfortunately traded away their draft pick. So I would take the Dolphins to cover. Fantasy plays, this honestly would probably be a stay away for me, but Joe, I've talked to him. He is dead set that Cam Newton at 5,600, and he's got good reason for it. He scored in double figures in his first game back despite only playing 7 offensive snaps. He followed that up last week in his first full start with 26.3 points, and he really didn't do that much. I know he scored 3 touchdowns. We had like 180 yards and 40 yards rushing. He's a guy that, again, when you have these running quarterbacks, they have such a low floor because they're going to get 40, 50 yards, and he's somebody that is always a danger to take away touchdowns if you're a McCaffrey owner. And, you know, again, at 5,600, you can do a lot worse. He said that if he would stack them with probably McCaffrey, actually, to save the money, stack him with his top receiving option, which is McCaffrey. He scored a reception touchdown last week. I like that play because it's 9,000 for McCaffrey. So now you're talking 14,600 for a quarterback who we know can score and obviously one of the top running backs in the game. But I would probably stay away from this game for betting because who the hell knows?
Yeah, well, the Panthers have been better on the road than they were at home in these last couple weeks. So there's probably.
So hopefully they're not staying out too late in Miami.
Yeah, just, you know.
That's a lot of fun things to do in Miami.
I'm not even trying to get sidetracked, but I've definitely been in the presence of NFL players in Miami before. And yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah,
it happens. NBA players, too, they do get wild down there sometimes. But, yeah, this is a game, like I said, I got it in my super contest, but I'm not – if I put it on a 1 to 10 scale of confidence, it's like a 4, so I'm probably going to switch it out. Next 1 o'clock game, and it'll be the last 1 o'clock game of the weekend. Steelers visiting the Bengals. Bengals laying 3.5. Over-unders at 44. Don't ask me what to expect from this game. I am off the Bengals train. I'm not sure what the hell's going on, but it's gotten real stale. I have refused to bet the Steelers in any kind of capacity whatsoever as long as Ben Roethlisberger.
They got so screwed last week, man. They should have covered that. That was awful.
So for the purpose of the show, I'll make a pick, but I will not be putting any money behind this game. My pick is for the Steelers to cover the number.
That you're my man. As a Falcons fan, I know losing franchises. And I'm sorry, Cincinnati. You're a losing franchise, just like we are. If you're telling me it's only what it's 3.5, right?
Yeah, it's 3.5.
Yeah. I would buy that down to 3, but I'm buying it down to 3 and I'm taking the Steelers. The Bengals, they're gonna find a way to lose this game. That's what teams like Cincinnati, Atlanta, you saw the Lions on Thanksgiving. That's what our teams do, is they find ways to lose. The Steelers are one of those organizations that you see even this year when they're a freaking mess, they got a quarterback that can't throw, and they're still winning games and they're still in the playoff hunt. They'll find a way to win this. The fantasy play for me is Pat Freiermuth, 4,200. Baby Gronk has been incredible. I've been high on him since the preseason podcast. Bengals have given up a touchdown to tight end in 3 straight and allowed over 10 points to the tight ends they faced in 5 straight for fantasy purposes. Freiermuth has double figures in 4 or 5 and 4 touchdowns in that period. He is becoming one of Ben's favorite targets, which is no surprise because he can't throw the ball down the field. And Juju Smith-Schuster is gone for the season. If you want to go the other side, Pittsburgh does have still a lot, kind of a mess on their back end. Maybe Cincinnati does show up. Maybe they do, you know, have that game. If that's the case, a Chase Burrow stack is not crazy expensive. Burrow 6,600, Chase is 72. So, I mean, that's not that bad. 13,600 for a quarterback with that. And they have those injuries on the back end. What scares me is Watt is back. And when he plays, they get pressure. We know that Burrow can get hit a lot. And I just worry they're going to get so much pressure that even with the guys that are out on the back end for the Steelers, since he's still going to have trouble moving the ball down the field. And Burrow has a little bit of the same issue a lot of these quarterbacks with good arms does, that he won't really dink and dunk. He wants to throw it down the field, and I don't think he's going to have time for that.
He'd be trying to die. Just for show purposes and for your future gambling purposes, if you're betting the dog like the Steelers here, you're going to, if you're buying a point, it goes up. You want to buy it for 4. You don't want to buy it down to 3 because you're getting 3.5. Now, if you want to get some plus odds on the number, you can buy it down.
Oh, wait a minute. The Steelers are the dogs in this?
Yeah, the Steelers are.
Oh, hell. Then to give me the money line then.
Yeah.
Shit, I thought the Bengals were favorite.
No.
Oh, well, I mean, no. The Steelers were favorite. Yeah, give me that all day. Wow.
I am, again, not really a fan of the Steelers. So money line sounds fine, though. But yeah, I don't want anybody to go back and listen to this and be like, man, this dude talking about this. I'm not a fan of the Steelers.
That was Keith. You can say that was Keith.
Chargers. First 4 o'clock game. Chargers visiting the Broncos. Chargers are favorite by 3, so they are laying 3 on the road. Over-unders at 47. Have not been a fan of the Chargers on the road in any capacity this year. Actually think the Chargers are a little overrated. If the Broncos can get their offensive coordinator back, let me get the 3, but bump it up to 3.5. Not taking a money line here because, like the Lions, who always end up losing by a field goal, the Chargers always find themselves on the end of a crazy win that's last second, and I can see them winning by like 2.
The Chargers have been the most baffling to me team in football. I don't really know what to think of them. It's like every time I think they're good, they're bad. And every time I think they're bad, they're good. The bottom line is they give up 145 yards per game on the ground. Denver has the best 1-2 running combination in the NFL, and Melvin Gordon, Javonte Williams. I expect a heavy, heavy dose of those guys for fantasy purposes. Give me Melvin Gordon Jr. He's 5,300. Williams is 5,100. Williams has actually outperformed him in yards, But the deal is Gordon finds his way to the end zone. Williams doesn't. Gordon has 5 touchdowns in his last 4. Williams has 1 in that time. Gordon's also getting about 70% of the goal line carries to Williams' 30. And I just – again, I think the Broncos are one of those frisky teams. We're seeing over and over again, the AFC West is not quite as good as everybody thought early on, but I think all their teams are pretty good and pretty even. I think, again, at the end of the year, it's going to end up being the Chiefs being the best of the bunch, and the rest of them are all just good teams, not great, and they're not bad. But if you're getting points for a team like Denver at home, they got, you know, a good secondary. Their defense has played pretty good at times, and their strength is the Chargers' weakness. I'd take the points.
Teddy covers, baby.
That's right.
Bradley Chubb has been activated, I believe I saw, which could be a huge boost for their defense because he was solid when he was playing. I think he's better in the run than Von Miller was as well. So I think it could be a definite boost for them. Vikings visiting the Niners. Niners are favored by 3. Over-unders at 49. Let me see. The Vikings they won last week.
Are you surprised this is a typical Vegas line?
No, I'm not surprised. Have you seen the Niners? They're playing their offense the right way.
Right, but I'm saying, aren't the Vikings a decent run defense, or do I have that confused?
I think have it confused because if I recall, the Browns shitted on them when they played them, and the Browns are one of the best run offenses in the league. And then I'm trying to think of other teams that I've seen them play. I'm pretty sure the Ravens had their way with them on the ground as well. They just didn't come out with the win. But I will say this, Jekyll and Hyde, Vikings were good last week. I'm anticipating them being some shit this week. Justin Jefferson will definitely get his. Hopefully he misses his flight or something like that. I'm worried about Jefferson, but I'm not too afraid of Kirk Cousins. I think Nick Bosa should have a good game. I'm thinking that with the inconsistency of the Vikings, I've yet to see them put 2 weeks together where they're good. This is a good statement game for the Niners as well, as they've kind of gotten back on track. They're 5-5. The division is out of reach, but wild card is not. So I'm pretty sure they have that in their rearview mirror. I'm loving what I'm seeing from our offense. Again, I feel like they're back as far as running the offense the right way, using the motion to create space in both the running game and finding themselves in manageable passing downs and attacking the middle of the fucking field. In between the hashes is where you should live if you're in the Kyle Shanahan offense. And if you pay attention to the motions that they run, it doesn't matter who's in motion. It's typically just to get running lanes open and clear space so the middle of the field is open, and that's where we should attack, and that's what we've been doing for the last couple weeks. So I'm laying the 3. Probably going to put it in my super contest so I can cuss Kyle Shanahan out again. I was not joking. I sent the Niners media team 4 games worth of film that I had clipped from all 22s and circled and even like showed them plays from 2019 and 2020 that we ran in similar formations and what the fuck we were doing in 2021 and how it was not the same. And obviously, I'm sure it didn't make any difference, but 2-0 since I sent that email, so I'm giving myself credit.
I just hope they send you a check. You know, that's what they needed to do. If Elijah Mitchell plays in this game, which is looking like he might, I feel a lot more confident about the Niners cover, but I agree with you that if you're forcing me to make a pick, I agree. I just love the fact that both of their last 2 opening drives have been over 11 plays and gone for over 7 minutes. That is the kind of ball that allows you to beat teams like Minnesota. Joe actually thinks this is going to be kind of a shootout. I do see the possibility for that, but I think if the Niners play the game they want to, they're going to try to control the clock, really run the ball, play action, you know, what Jimmy G's good at. that from a fantasy perspective, both the star receivers in this game, Justin Jefferson and Debo, I'm not saying either of them are bad plays. They've been two of the most consistent guys in fantasy football week in and week out, but they're very expensive. Debo's 7,900, Jefferson's 8,400. I would say go with the two lesser options that are cheaper. Adam Thielen is 6,700, and while Jefferson deserves a lot of the credit from the last few weeks, Thielen is averaging 19 points per game over his last five, and again, he's almost $2,000 cheaper. And then Brandon Ayuk at 5,300, thank God, because I went on record all summer saying Brandon Ayuk was the breakout player this year. It's been Debo Samuel, not him, but look over the last four. He's averaging 14 points per game. He's seen seven targets or more in three or four, scored touchdowns in two out of three. I do like going with Ayuk or Thielen. I also, again, if Elijah Mitchell plays, Mitchell has been the most disrespected running back in fantasy football. He's, again, at 5,300. If he plays, I think he's a great play.
You didn't mention Kittle?
Kittle after last week scares me because they just proved that if they get up, you know, I think Kittle's going to be good in games that they're down. I think if this game goes the way I want or the way I think, they're going to control the game and be in the lead most of it. And when that happens, he just doesn't seem to be involved as much.
All right. They should get.
But he does have a good matchup.
They should get fantasy points for blocks.
Pass interference is the big ones for me.
Oh, my God. I don't even want to talk about pass interference.
Speaking of
pass interference, we should have a ton of pass interference calls this game against the Niners. So the over probably is to play at 49 because we can't cover nobody, man. That's how it seems to happen. But, yeah, again, Vikings hit or miss sometimes, up and down, left is right, depending on the week. You never know. And this week I'm just going to go ahead.
Apparently all Zimmer needed was a model, and, you know, it's got his game going.
Yeah, well, Jimmy G likes models of a different
flavor. I was going to say.
He might dabble with this one, too. You got to be careful, man. The next 4 o'clock game is the last 4 o'clock game on the slate.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one.
Rams versus Packers. Packers actually visiting or the Rams actually visiting the Packers. The only issue I have is it's going to be probably a brick in Lambeau, which absolutely sucks. But Matthew Stafford hasn't had any issues playing in the cold weather at Lambeau, even though he's a predominantly dome QB. Aaron Rodgers is hobbled. He's got a toe injury. Not sure if it's
he's got COVID toe.
Yeah, COVID toe. Yeah, that's what you said, COVID toe, goofball. But either way, the fact that he's a little hobbled worries me. I think that Ramsey.
Hold on, real quick, just tell you because I just noticed this. They're calling for game time. It's not going to be quite as windy if it calms down, but they're in 10-mile-an-hour winds when it starts and 30 degrees.
Oh yeah, no, I'm definitely leaning under, but I think the Rams defense is better than the Packers defense, and I think with Aaron Rodgers having COVID toe and it being really cold, he ain't going to be as mobile as he would like to get away from Aaron Donald and anybody else they send, just, you know, how he typically buys time. I like the matchup of Ramsey on Adams if they need it. So on these third downs and crazy conversions that they've been getting left and right, I think we see that slow down a little bit this week. I don't think their run game is as healthy either. So let me get the Rams here to cover the 1 point. I mean, it's minus 125 for 1 point and it's 130 money line. So I'm just going to just take lay the 1 point.
Yeah, I'm with you. The Rams have to win this game. And let's be honest, the Packers are in a lot better position than the Rams are. The Rams have really looked rough. The loss of Woods. For fantasy plays, I will tell you that win scares me a little bit because I actually originally liked several of the guys, but I'm still going to stick with OBJ at 5K. It's the play I'm giving from this game. I also mentioned the Rams defense, but if you want to go Van Jefferson, who's 4,900, he's probably a safer play. But I just think coming off a bye, they're going to force the ball to OBJ. They're going to have some gimmick plays for him. He's going to do some stuff. We know the Packers can give up big plays to receivers. Last week, Thielen and Jefferson went for 16 receptions for 251 yards and 3 touchdowns. So the Packers, they do have some issues on the back end. I think Stafford was a little banged up. Hopefully he'll be a little bit healthier. And to your point, he is actually a really good player in cold weather. It doesn't bother him at all. He's got big hands, which they say makes a difference, and he throws a tight spiral. So give me OBJ at 5,000 as the fantasy play.
Keep an eye on, obviously, Aaron Rodgers' health. Any updates that you might get, even if he looks like hobbled warming up or something like that, could definitely tip you on which way to go. I do have the Rams in my super contest. So my super contest was the Lions, the Texans, the Rams, the Panthers, the Colts. I'm probably going to switch out that Panthers game.
So you're already 1-0, though, right?
Yeah, I'm already 1-0. Should be 2-0. I should have played the Bills. I didn't want to go too heavy on Thursday night, but or I should have. Sunday night. Ooh, almost skipped it. Sunday night. Browns visiting the Ravens. Ravens laying 3.5. Over-unders at 47. They're getting not Chubb. Who's the other quarter running back?
Hunt.
They're getting Hunt back. I said at the beginning of the season that the Browns built the team to beat the Ravens. I had to put my money where my mouth is. I'm going to go ahead and take my points with the Browns here.
Yeah, I don't like this game at all, but I tend with you. I think these are two very even teams. I think that they're not saying for sure that Marquise Brown's going to play, which that would be a huge deal if he's not out there. For fantasy play, particularly if Brown doesn't play, I love Lamar. Just in games Brown doesn't play, he runs so much more, just making his floor, even higher, which is a good thing. But I also don't have any problem playing Hunt coming out. He's very cheap this week. I think they're going to get right back to doing what the Browns do, which Baker's not going to throw the ball very much, and you're going to see a lot of Hunt and Chubb. I would take the points for sure.
Ravens look like a team that will win by a field goal or do what they do in the I want four here because one of the issues that I've noticed with the Ravens is that they usually end up behind like 3 or 4 and then they score a touchdown and go up 3 or 4 or something like that. Yeah. Like it's just one of those numbers where I've noticed in a couple of their games that's kind of how it goes. So I'd rather stay on the right side of the three. So Monday night's game is whack. Washington football team playing the Seattle Seahawks. It's a pick 'em. I mean, it's a weird line too, because all our lines come from mybookie.ag, which I forgot to say at the beginning of the show. Mybookie.ag is our group sponsor. If you haven't joined mybookie.ag, join them and use promo code IBSports, and they'll give you a nice rollover as well as a money match bonus with that promo. But the pick'em's at -110 for either team, but the money line is +105 Seahawks and -125 Washington football team. So whack. I'm actually probably gonna switch this out, but I'm gonna take the football team to win. The Seahawks have not looked good.
They're done. What's up? I mean, what is up? Is Russell gone? Is that what this is all about?
I don't think it's Russell gone. I just think they're a front running squad. And if they can't front run, then they just don't compete anymore. Part of that too is that Pete Carroll's not really a coach; he's a motivator, and they don't have the staff, I think, to make up for his lack of coaching and game planning. They also don't have a running game, which really puts a lot of pressure on Russell Wilson, and he's not able to buy the time that he likes to buy and move around in the pocket due to what I think is him rushing back from injury. So yeah, I'm gonna do that live right now. I'm gonna switch out my Panthers and put the football team. I mean, what I got to lose, man? I've only won like 4 or 5 games in the last couple weeks, so it's worse things that have been done.
Football. They're another team that's been playing really hard too, which is impressive. I mean, to me, that really does make a difference with these teams because it's easy to give up once your season's over, and they've got two skilled players that are very good, and they are very in it. Both Gibson and McLaurin have been banged up. They continue to play. From a fantasy perspective, Terry McLaurin all the way. Was one of the things that we really pay attention to is the Pro Football Focus matchup. His matchup versus the Seattle secondary, 100%. I've never seen it. I've seen 99.7. I've seen 99.1. I don't remember 100%. Terry McLaurin is 100% or 100 grade against them. So I love Terry McLaurin this week.
Scary Terry is my guy, one of the most unappreciated receivers in the NFL.
Reminds me so much of early DeAndre Hopkins. You know,
yeah, I was going to say, might be his generation's DeAndre just because he doesn't have a quarterback and he's putting up numbers if you throw the ball his way. They do get Logan Thomas back. Yeah, which was pretty significant because him and Heinicke had pretty good chemistry.
Logan's a really good player. Yep.
I wouldn't go that far. He's okay. He's a hokey.
From Washington and with he's been great with Washington for the last 2 years, fantasy perspective.
Yeah, switching from quarterback to tight end, he's definitely been solid for sure. But when you say very good, it makes my eye kind of
sorry, fantasy perspective only. You got to remember, I'm thinking fantasy.
But that's pretty much the rundown. Keith, again, you know, if I do well, you're back. If I don't, you're fired. That's how it goes.
I can live with that.
My son is out of town, so you guys will not be getting Tristan's picks right now. But I'll try to get him to make a pick for the Monday night game.
I love it. All right.
Anything you want to say before we leave, Keith?
Just, you know, be sure to follow the Ivy Sports Podcast Network, iTunes, Spotify, and Anchor. Me and Ron L. will be getting together Monday to do a Team Turnbuckle, the wrestling podcast. I'm very excited to talk about the promo between CM Punk and MJF. And then me and Joe will be back next week. Joe apologized. He had family in town and work and stuff. So I appreciate Alan letting me come on, talk the gambling lines, and obviously give my favorite fantasy place for this week.
And this dude, Joe, stood us both up, man. That is something terrible.
Joe the nerd, man.
Yeah. He stood you up on the Daily Fantasy, stood me up on the recap show. I never liked the guy. I really didn't. I'm just joking. But, hey, good luck to everybody on Sunday. We are slowly winding down on the season. Sad. I will report that, unfortunately, I was as high as in the top 300 at one point in my contest, and now I'm 1,600. Which it happens, man. It's super contest is difficult, man. And I've had a lot of games that could have went either way, and I've had a few
games. What percentage cash in that?
Last year was like 73. Okay. It was insane. I'm usually at my peak in NFL. Because this year is the first year I fully like dedicated all year to NFL. Before this year, I was like 54%. My first couple seasons, my third season, I finished at 59 and I still didn't crack the top 300. And then earlier in the season, I was running at 65%. And like I said, the highest I got at 65% was in the top 300. So
I mean, if you're at 73%, I hope you're racking up on a week-to-week basis and not, you know, worried about just winning the contest.
If I'm at 73%, I'm off of this network and I'm on ESPN or something.
Just don't forget about me, Alan.
Yeah, straight up. I hope to get that good one day. My goal is to get into the Super Contest in Vegas or something like that. But for right now, let me just try to win the MyBookie contest. And I mean, who knows? If I go on a run, I could get back in the top like 200. I don't know. Like these things do change week to week. Steve Fesnick, who's the two-time winner of like one of the biggest contests out there, he said his second year that he won, he started out, he had a week, it was like 3 weeks left, and he went 0-5, and the guy went 5-0 and started talking shit to him, and Fesnick ended up going 10-0 in the last 10 games, and the guy went like 7-3, and he ended up beating him by a game. Like, it really does change like that. Like, it's just how it goes. So hopefully, like I said, I can get on a run. If I win more than 3 games, you will be here next week.
I only need 2 then, because you already got one.
Well, good luck to everybody. Daily Fantasy and Gambling. We'll catch
you. Get in the IB Sports DraftKings, too. I'll put the link up on the group.
IB Sports DraftKings. If you're not in the group, make sure you join and then join the DFS. I donate $10 a week.
We appreciate it. Even though I haven't won it in like 6 weeks now, so I can't say anything.
All right, man. Take care.
Thanks, Alan.